I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and open them to Genesis chapter 39. And we're continuing with our story of Joseph, looking to his life. I found that most Christians are generally familiar with the life of Joseph. Some, even who are not Christians, have at least heard of Joseph, and maybe they saw a cartoon or a movie or something, but have the general idea of the story. But Joseph was a tremendous example in many areas. Today we're looking at growing past your pain, and Joseph was a great example of that. Someone who dealt with betrayals. Betrayal of his brothers, betrayal of his boss's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, we'll call her. But yet he was able to grow past them and become not only an effective administrator, but also he was able to enjoy life and get on with his life. Many people do not grow past their pains. People betray them, they hurt them, life disappoints them, and they stay right there. They let those things defeat them. But the wise people are able to grow past their pains. Now, I'm going to also preach on growing past your disappointments, and I believe the difference between pain and disappointment, at least the way I'm looking at it, is that pains, when we're talking about pains, we're really talking about something that was intentional. Something that was done to us intentionally, someone who betrayed you. You were in the crosshairs of someone's rifle and they went after you. We all have these types of pain in our life where someone intentionally hurt us. Now, maybe big or small or large or maybe not so large, but still we all have them. We all deal with pain of betrayal and where someone has gone out to get us. And how do we get past those? How do we grow past those? Each of us has experienced betrayals of some sort. And the size and nature of the betrayal will vary from person to person, situation to situation. But it is a universal human experience. Betrayals cause pain. Some can cause other pains as well. Some betrayals result in financial difficulties, career opportunities lost. Sometimes even physical ailment can be a part of it or maybe a secondary cause of it. Difficult problems in all sorts of areas of life and real effort someone has gone to betray us or hurt us or cause some pain in our life. How do we grow past these things? Well, the question is our pain permanent? Does your pain, is it permanently part of your life, or can you let that be in the past and grow beyond it? Well, let's look at Joseph's life, and we're going to get to the end of chapter 39, but really I want to look in chapter 37. I'm not going to read the entire passage, it's fairly long, but chapter 37, and then in chapter 39 also the story. Let me just tell it for us so we can kind of get familiar with it. Joseph was of Jacob's 12 sons, and he was next to last, but he was the one that they really didn't like. The other sons really despised him. Joseph was a bit arrogant. He did have a little bit of an attitude, but he was young. All those are understandable for someone young. God had given him some visions of his future. His brothers were jealous of these visions, and they went after him, and they were opposed to him. We see his father had a little bit of responsibility here, because he sent Joseph to find his brothers, and he sent him alone. And his father did not offer the protection of Joseph that he perhaps should have, that his father put him in harm's way. And so Joseph went out there to find his brothers. His father's action was passive, not active, but nevertheless, he's the one that sent him on this journey. His brothers found him, and they decided to do something with this young, arrogant sibling of theirs, and they sold him into slavery. Some travelers, some caravan was coming by, some businessmen doing business in those days between different nations, and they sold Joseph as a slave. And we read from the Bible, when they did that, Joseph cried like a little baby. He pleaded with them not to do it, but they did it anyway. So his brothers betrayed him. He comes down to Egypt, and he's bought by a man named by the name of Potiphar. And he is Potiphar's household administrator. One thing we learn about Joseph's life is that he was an excellent administrator. But Joseph had another trait. We do know from Scripture. Joseph apparently was compellingly handsome. He was a good-looking man. And he was so good-looking, in fact, Mrs. Potiphar couldn't keep her mind off of him or her hands off of him. And she grabbed him and tried to pull him into a sexual relationship. Joseph came out of his cloak, ran out the house and said, "No, no matter what, I will not betray my God. I will not betray my employer." But Mrs. Potiphar betrayed him. That when Mr. Potiphar came home, she said, "See, I have this cloak. Your Hebrew slave tried to make a mockery of us and tried to have a relationship with me." So he was put in prison. Second major betrayal in his life, put in prison. Now, one place a handsome man does not want to go is prison. It was no different then than now. But nevertheless, that's where he is. He has every reason to be overwhelmed with hate and anger. But yet we see Joseph never became that way. Joseph grew past all these pains in his life. And we see three things in his life that show us this. We're going to look at these one by one. First of all, we see his faith in God. Secondly, we see his willingness to forgive those who have betrayed him. And thirdly, we see his willingness and his focus on being useful where he was. Three great attributes that we can use to help us grow past our pains. Now, my text is just the last part of chapter 39 in Genesis, just these last two verses. It says this, verse 22, "And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it." In the final verse, "The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed." So three things that we can learn from Joseph's life that enable us also to grow past our pains. The first is he maintained his faith in God. When you're dealing with pain, when you're dealing with someone who has done something to you to hurt you, do not abandon your faith in God. Hang on to your faith in God. Realize that God hasn't changed. Whoever has harmed you, they did not remove God from your life. They did not remove God from the equation. God is still able to bless you and watch over you. So do not neglect God. Joseph could have said, "My father failed me, my brothers betrayed me, my employer's wife betrayed me," and blame it all on God. "God, why did you let this happen?" Many people do that. When someone hurts them, they take it out on God and they get angry at God. "God, you could have stopped this. Why did you let this happen?" And rather than maintaining their faith and saying, "God, you're the one person I can count on," instead they turned against God. But we should always maintain our faith in God. Don't throw that away, because that will be your key to getting out of your pain. If you want to be released from your pain, don't abandon your faith in God. Several years ago, when I was serving in Southeast Asia, I had a young Chinese girl from Indonesia. Chinese communities stay identified ethnically almost wherever they are. And Indonesia has a large Chinese community. Well, she was part of that Chinese culture from Indonesia. And she moved to Singapore with her husband. They were newlyweds. They were having trouble. So I did some counseling with them. And when I was talking with her, she had separate problems, not just related to her marriage. She had been betrayed and hurt by her mother. Her mother had not been a good mother in all areas of her life. And she carried the pain of what her mother had done to her. But as she told the story, she kept coming up with this phrase, "God did this to me." One after another, "God did this to me. God did this to me." And after listening to her story, I stopped and asked her. I said, "Let me ask you, is your mother God?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, you've been saying God did this to you, but as I've heard you tell the story, it wasn't God, it was your mother that did that to you." And she said, "Oh." And she began to think, "Yeah, I had never thought of it that way." But this is what a lot of people do. They blame whatever they have. God must have done it. And God is the one person that can bring us out of this. So don't put it all on God. Understand God's love. Trust his love and care for you no matter what. In fact, there are several questions I encourage you should ask if you have any trouble with these areas. Is stop and ask these six questions. First of all, what happened to me that causes me pain to this day? Ask yourself, what has happened to me? Clarify, who betrayed you? Who hurt you? And secondly, where was God when it happened? Where was God when it happened? Thirdly, what did God think of what had happened? What did God think about it? When I talked about her mother betraying her and hurting her, she was talking about it, of course. I was listening to her, but I said, well, what did God think of that? She said, well, God didn't like it. So no, he didn't like it. God is a redeemer, and God's redeeming the world, but the world is so problematic. The world has such deep, deep problems that God has sent Christ to die for our sins, and he's going to bring his kingdom into existence one day fully. But between now and then, there are still problems on this earth, and there is a deep stain on the conscience of human beings. So that we cause each other pain, but God is opposed to it anyway. The fourth question, what will I learn about God in this circumstance? What can I learn about God in this circumstance? And fifth, what will God do with the one who hurt me? That person still has to give an account to God, and we all must give an account to God. God will handle them, and I can release that into God's hands. And what does God wish that I could realize today out of this pain? What can I realize about God? Well, the attitude that we need to have is simply trusting God in all situations. Could he have saved Joseph? Could he have avoided these things? We can assume, yes, God could have, theoretically at least, we could say that. But there's always more to this scene, this human drama, than we have any idea of knowing. Why did God allow this? All we can say is God has allowed it for his purposes, and we can trust him in it. It may be painful, but we still have to give it in God's hands. Say, Lord, here did I leave it in your hands. Now, Joseph, we see his character. We see his faith in that even in Egypt, he did not succumb to the temptation of being with his boss's wife. Many lesser men would have said, well, why not? Why not have a relationship with her? I mean, I've been sold into slavery. My life has been taken from me. And why not? What have I got to lose? And besides, I'm far from home. They'll never hear about this. But instead, we see his character coming out. He says, no, this is wrong. I have been betrayed, but I will not betray my employer. We see his faith. But this is what we find in the Bible. If you go back and look at the scripture and see how people responded, to difficult, painful news and circumstances, we see that this attitude of, I'm going to trust God no matter what, still comes forth. For example, Eli, the priest Eli, at the news of God's judgment against his son, said this, he is Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes. Job, when in one day he lost all his family, his children, and his wealth, all in one day, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Christ, when he was arrested in the garden, Peter took out his sword and tried to attack the servant of the high priest. But Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? And this is the attitude that's given to us, is the right attitude, that even in the midst of pain, we trust God. God, I can trust you here. And that trust in God will be the very thing God uses to bring you through the pain on the other side. Romans 8, 28, 29 says this, one of the favorite verses of Christians. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. In our difficult situations and pain, we learn things about God we'd never learn otherwise. We learn how great he is, how powerful he is. We learn that despite betrayals, God will still accomplish his will in our life, and he's still for us. And we learn things about him we'd never learn otherwise. So don't throw your relationship with God. Maintain your faith in God in the midst of betrayals. Now, the second thing is this, though. Forgive those who caused you pain. This is another attribute of Joseph. We'll come to this principle later on in the study of his life. But he is a great example of someone who was able to forgive. You know, you think about it, just thinking logically, to forgive or not to forgive, which one is better for you? Without any question, to forgive is much better than not to forgive. To not to forgive is to drink poison expecting the other person to die. To not to forgive thinks, well, I will have a miserable life and they will know what they've done to me. You know, it's just possible they don't care. They totally don't care. And you're ruining your life for no purpose whatsoever. It's much better to forgive, put it in God's hands, let God judge them and bring vengeance on them and deal with them, and you go on. But don't hold on to it. Lou Holtz is a football coach at Notre Dame University in America, was the football coach. Many of us Americans know Lou Holtz. He has a great quote. He said, don't tell people your problems. 20% don't care. The other 80% are glad you have them. Well, that may be some truth to that, right? That, so what? We moan and groan. Oh, my life is so terrible. Oh, my life is so terrible. Oh, what these people have done to me. I can never forgive. Well, that's your choice, of course, but you're simply making your life miserable. And you're probably not going to change them. If you want to get revenge on someone, forgive them. They'll really be confused then. But if you want to be free, let it go. Let it go. Don't hold on to it. Let it go. One of the stories that came out of World War II was the story of the prisoners of war, Scottish prisoners of war in Burma that were required by their Japanese captors to build a bridge over the River Kwai. There's a movie years ago, Bridge Over the River Kwai. But actually, there's a book written, The Miracle of the River Kwai, by Ernest Gordon. And he described the difficulty of the prisoners. It was cruel and unjust punishment, and the Japanese captors were very cruel. Many of them were, and these prisoners dressed in rags, barely had enough to eat. It's incredible they even survived the war, but they also did manual labor, which requires even more food, of course, that they did not have. One day, after working, they came in, and they turned in all their shovels, and a shovel was missing, they thought. And so the commander came out to the group of prisoners and waved his gun in the air, and he said he insisted the man who took that shovel step forward and admit who he was. Otherwise, he was going to kill many people. Well, he had done things like that before, and they were afraid that he would do it again. One man stepped forward and said, I took the shovel. And the commander put up his gun, took a shovel, and beat the man to death in front of the crowd. Well, then they did another recount of the shovels, and they found that a shovel was not missing after all. It was simply a miscount. But the camp realized that man gave his life for everyone else. And it shook them. It shook them in a good way. So after that, they began to be more gracious to one another. They'd seen someone give his life, sacrifice his life. And they began to be more considerate to one another. When the war ended and the prisoners were liberated and the Japanese captors had been their captors and they became their prisoners, in many situations there was revenge on them. But in that situation, the soldiers said, no more hatred, no more killing. Now what we need is forgiveness. You know, forgiveness liberates us. It liberates us. It allows us to go forward. Let me say a word to all of us who are parents. If we don't forgive, what we'll do is we will be poisoning our children with the same spirit of unforgiveness. Because it will show up. If you and I do not forgive, Matthew 18, Jesus told the parable of the unforgiving servant. He said, if you don't forgive one another from the heart, and if we say, well, I'm not going to forgive, I'm just going to pretend I did, it'll show up. So forgive from the heart, and it will be liberating. It will be liberating to you and also edifying and liberating to them. There's not a greater legacy you can give your children than the gift of being able to forgive others and move forward with your life. Now, the third thing we see is Joseph also gives an example to focus on the opportunities that God gives you.
The Scripture says this. Scripture in Colossians 4:5 says, this is the New Living Translation, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Many lesser people in Joseph's situation would have simply sat down and given up on life. My life has been taken from me. Everything I had has been stripped away. I give up. I have no hope. I have no reason to live. Others would have turned on their captors. They would have said, I will make this Egyptian pay for owning me in the first place. I'll be the worst servant he's ever had, and I'll make his life miserable. I'll steal from him. I'll make it a terrible experience for him just out of revenge. Call that transference. That is, we're mad at one person, but we transfer the feelings to someone else. And we all do this. We ought not to, but this is a human tendency. But instead, in each situation, wherever Joseph was, he went to work. And Joseph was an excellent administrator. He really knew how to run things. In fact, it's interesting that that was his background, being an administrator in the prison. That was his preparation for leading the entire nation of Egypt, for being elevated to a higher position. His education and training and experience was what he did in prison. First of all, in Potiphar's household, then in prison. God was preparing him for something great. In fact, one commentator said, you know, the clientele that Joseph dealt with in prison, after he got out, was dealing with the government. He may have preferred the prisoners over some of the government officials he was working with, right? Well, he was learning how to administer things, how to take what little resources they had and make it go as far as it could in a responsible way. Well, that was his training. And that would not have happened in his life unless he had simply said, wherever I am, I'm going to see the opportunities. I'm going to look and see what happens. Some betrayals happen at work. Someone undermines you, talks about you, gossips, says a bad report about you, and keeps you from getting a promotion. Don't worry about it. God is not through yet. Give it to God. Say, God, I'm going to do what you give me to do. The opportunities I have, I will put myself to work. I'll focus on these opportunities. And often we find that God actually has something better for us. One door closes, but a better door opens. If we just sit down and cry like babies over every door that closes, we'll never go through the good door that opens. Don't worry about it. Often God blesses us more with a lost opportunity. I wonder how many of you have ever been to Enterprise, Alabama. Some people know where it is, okay? Enterprise, Alabama is a small town down in the southern part of Alabama. They have a memorable monument there. It's a monument to an insect, a monument to the boll weevil. Now, the reason the boll weevil got a monument is because of the situation around it. They were in that area in the 1915, leading up to 1915, that area, the main crop of that area was cotton. And that was the money crop. That was what everybody was growing. It was a cotton-producing area. But in 1915, this little tiny insect that was indigenous to Mexico came up the American coast and attacked the cotton crop and devastated the cotton crop. Many cotton farmers lost everything, and it was very difficult. But they have this monument to the boll weevil, calling it the Herald of Prosperity. The reason is they changed. They couldn't grow cotton anymore, and they changed to growing peanuts, and they made more money growing peanuts than they ever did growing cotton. And what looked like a disaster actually turned out to be a blessing. That's what happens in life quite often. We want this to happen. God says, no, closes the door, and our hearts are broken. We say, I wish it had happened. God says, don't worry, I've got a better something for you over here. Remember country western singer Garth Brooks several years ago, he recorded this song, Unanswered Prayer. Remember the story of the song. It's country western song, so it tells a story. But it's the story about him running into an old girlfriend. He had married for several years, and he ran into this old girlfriend. And he remembered she was the one he asked God to give him. And he prayed, oh, God, if you'll give me her, I'll never ask for anything else. That's funny we say that, as though it's a problem for God to answer our prayers. But he said, if you give me this, I'll never ask for anything else. And God didn't give her to him. But then he found her later in life, and she didn't turn out so well. So he said, thank God for unanswered prayers. Some of God's greatest gifts. When he says, no, I have something better for you. Well, that's the way life is. Well, here we see this example, a tremendous example of a man, a young man, everything stripped from him. But what does he do? He maintains his faith in God. He forgives those who had betrayed him. And he put himself to work with the opportunities God gave him. And his life becomes a glorious, wonderful picture of redemption. A side story in the story of Joseph is a little tale of his father, Jacob. It's a little comment in Scripture that you don't get unless you study it and then you realize it's one of those comments that speaks volumes, although it's just one verse. Remember, Jacob had two wives and really four wives because he had children by their hand servants, those two sisters. That's not God's will, by the way, never was. But yet God is a redemptive God. And so God redeems the circumstance. He redeems our lives and we mess it up. His grace still covers us and can redeem us and bring sometimes beautiful things out of this that we have messed up. That's the power of God. So these two wives, Rachel was his first love, but he was tricked into marrying Leah, the older sister. But yet Rachel died and Leah lived longer. And when they came to the end of their life, the patriarchs had a special family tomb. It's called Machpelah in the Scripture. The Scripture talks about them. And Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried in Machpelah. Isaac and Rebekah were buried in Machpelah. But yet when Jacob died, and of course his wives died before him, both of them, it wasn't Rachel who was put in Machpelah. It was Leah. And it's almost like him saying, after seeing these two women, after being married to both of them, truth is, Leah was the better choice. Leah made the better wife. There's a picture of redemption. What he wanted, God said no. Now, what he should have done is accept Leah simply as his wife and not come back and marry Rachel. That would have been the correct reaction to the situation. But lust and pride and all these things got involved with it, and that's where problems develop. But God redeems that too. It's amazing, the grace of God. Now, when we're looking at stories like this, what do? Well, we look and say, here's an example. Example of someone who, in spite of all the bad thing that happened to him, was able to grow past it. And friend, this means that you and I can grow past our pains as well. Whatever pain you have in your life, betrayals, difficulties, and everyone has something. Give it to God. Maintain your faith in Him and just go forward. Let Him open the doors He has for you and you'll be blessed. And also, you'll be a blessing to others as well. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are so loving and patient with us. Forgive us, Lord, for our poor imaginations, that often we focus on something and get our feelings attached to it. As though if this is taken from us, nothing will be good. Whether it's the approval of a small group of friends or whether it's the love of a parent that was never given or it was an opportunity at work or whatever it is, Lord, we can hold on to these things far too long. So I pray that you'd give us the grace to simply turn these things over to you and put them in your hands and let us grow past them with your grace, with your love, trusting in you and knowing that what you have planned for us, you will gift us. You will provide for us. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.